Welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff that you're doing for the community. That's for sure. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by the United Mine Workers of America and the BCTGM. That's the bakery folks. And to help us talk about some of the really cool stuff that's going on with BCTGM, specifically with keeping Oreo cookies made here in the United States, we've got Ron Baker. Ron, welcome back.
Hey, Charles. How you doing? Thanks for having me, man.
Brother, it's always a pleasure. We appreciate it. Now, Ron, you and I are both old dog organizers.
And, yes, we are.
And we get out there and we get people organized and we get them interested and we educate them on what the issues are and we help them, fix the problems. And,
yep.
and it's a great line of work and it's often long hours, and but it's really rewarding when something happens,
yes.
i.e. an election or a corporation changes direction or mm-hmm. changes people. Mm-hmm. And Ron, you and your team and many people across the country have been presenting a very positive campaign about keeping Oreo cookies made here in the United States and sold in the U.S. market and around the world. Mm-hmm. And you guys have just really, really knocked it out of the park when it comes to Mondelez. Tell us what's happening.
Well, what's happened is, and of course the corporation will tell you something different. But you know, I mean, figures.
Yeah.
All you got to do is look at the figures. But the effect of back in April, while we talked, and there was a rumor on the street that the CEO was going to leave. Leave the position. She's making $21 million a year and sending jobs all over the world to low-wage countries and just generally treating consumers, employees, and everybody like she owns them. But anyway, we got the word on August the 2nd that she's actually being replaced. They always say moving on to higher, greener pastures or whatever. But, you know, the truth of the matter is through the help and the assistance, not only of the labor movement, but people all across this country, socially conscious people that care about good jobs and fairness, and across the globe. I mean, there's reasons why Irene Rosenfeld's leaving. I mean, the analysts can say what they want, and so can the corporation. But you know, when the highest consuming country in the world, the United States of America, with 5% of the population and 25% of all consumption of everything produced, turns its back on your product. I mean, that's pretty significant and pretty astounding, because in the second quarter, in their earnings report that had just come out, they lost volume revenues of about 8.5% over the 3 months period, the second quarter. So in the United States, in biscuits, which is 40% of their take in North America. So with that announcement, 2 days, 3 days prior, I mean, she is exiting and leaving the company. Well, it'll be next spring, but in November 1st, she's no longer the CEO, and then March the 31st, she's no longer involved with the company. So that's pretty significant with a company that started out 4 years ago as a $35 billion corporation. And through her great guidance and whatever, I got to tell you, it's now a $24 billion corporation. And suffering in its markets that are mature markets in Western Europe and in the United States. So
yeah, absolutely.
Bully for her.
Yeah, you know, and Ron, this was basically, we've got 600 people in Chicago that have been making Oreo cookies for a really long time, and
60 years. Mm-hmm.
And they're great cookies, and.
Yep.
You know, the idea was we're going to take that cookie line and send it down to Mexico and then re-import the cookies into the United States and
right.
make a greater profit and shoot the people who have been working for us for the last 60 years in the foot in the process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we're okay with that. And now, mm-hmm. turn around, and you and your team have been in cities all over the country and college campuses all over the country, and people just stopped buying them.
Stop buying them now. Their claims, of course, the corporate claim is always different than how we see the figures. But they claim that the American people have come to terms with more healthy eating. Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because they came to terms with more healthy eating at the same time that the campaign kicked off in August of 2016. So, that's a little bit peculiar, but I'm not saying it's impossible, but probably not to the tune of 8.5% in the second quarter.
No, not on a company that big. So you've had an impact. The company doesn't want to talk about it. I get it. You get it. We all understand it. And quite honestly, within the labor movement, we get some really good political wonks, but we've also got some really awesome financial wonks that can take a look at these numbers and say, hey, you know what? No. You have had an influence. The American public has agreed with the BCTGM's argument, keep Nabisco cookies, keep the Oreos made here in the United States. And you guys never said don't make Oreos in Mexico.
Absolutely. When we were at the last board meeting, shareholders meeting on May the 17th of this year, and the issue was raised like, companies generally find a market niche, and then if the market niche is big enough, build a factory to supply it for efficiency purposes closer to it. Well, their rationale for why they built a Salinas factory was because they built it there in anticipation of a market in Mexico. Who does that? Quite frankly, nobody does that because the market was always going to be the United States of America.
Right.
So, Ron,
I got to ask you over this time period. I mean, what have sales into Mexico been for Oreo cookies?
Well, we believe that 90% of the product that's made in Salinas, Mexico, crosses the border and shows up in stores in the very communities where they abandon. My firm opinion is what they believed is they believed that the Nabisco products were such iconic brands that they could do anything they wanted to employees and consumers, regardless of where it was, regardless of how it impacted them or their families, and they would kind of forget about it because they loved the brand so much. Well, quite frankly, that is an errant business model where you absolutely abandon the loyalty of a mature market to seek out greater profits for yourself and say, they'll get used to it, don't worry about it, they'll forget how we treated them. It didn't happen.
Yeah, it didn't happen. And quite frankly, now they've got to second guess that whole mindset, and you've put them in a position where they're probably second guessing themselves.
Well, I would hope there's a way to resolve the issue. It's with security and retirement. It's security and employment, and it's fair treatment for people that do the work for you and make the profits. The only reason that Irene Rosenfeld was able to try to expand to other markets across the globe and take advantage of people across oceans and borders is because of the profits that American workers made for the corporation, which they funneled into something that was against their best interest.
And that's another thing. I mean, Ron, they were making Oreos here in the United States. They were making Oreos down in Mexico. When the packages came up and they were sitting side by side on the shelves in the local grocery store, were the ones from Mexico any cheaper?
No. They were actually they were the same price. They stretch the margins on those particular things. But then, once you lose the consumer, I mean, when it comes to mistreatment of the consumer, employees, or how people view how you do your business, after a while, it really doesn't matter what you sell it for or what the price is, because you've turned people off to the brand, and they wouldn't pay it. They and sometimes won't pay a nickel if it was worth a dime.
Right.
And that's exactly, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, that's exactly where they are. They have absolutely hosed over great, stable consumer markets with great consumers, with high disposable income, searching for the almighty dollar, screwed their families, screwed the communities, and in the process, want their loyalty to continue so they can continue to degrade the financial circumstances under which they operate, and people are fed up with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Ron, can you stick around for one more segment?
I can.
Fantastic, yes. Because I want to get your take on a couple of things, okay. Not only with what BCTGM is doing, but what we're seeing across the U.S. And I think sure. There's some very interesting things going on.
Okay.
Meantime, we've been talking with Ron Baker of the Baker Confectionery, Tobacco, and Grain Millers Union, or in short, the Bakers Union. And we appreciate all the great stuff they're doing. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.
Hey, America. We need to have a little talk. We've got a lot of food in this country. We've got so much food that we can't eat it all. So how are 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger? That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and gets it to hungry kids who need it. Support Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Music is a bridge between the material and the spiritual. My name is Harvey Lauer, and I'm 82. As a blind person, you have to be aware that nobody can tell you what you can or can't do. You really have to try things. My folks got me a little radio in 1940, and that was the best Christmas present I ever got. When I was 11 years old is when I started to play music, play the piano, and then the accordion, and then the cello. My wife, who was also blind, was a good cook. When she died, that's when I started Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
It's Meals on Wheels.
1 in 6 seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
You know what really gets a party started? Indoor baseball. Yeah, just find a broom or a pool cue, and you can use, like, anything as a ball. Cans, bottles, shoes.
Hey, bro, toss me that avocado.
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Underage drinking and driving, the ultimate party foul. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone.
I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon, that's for sure. Hey, this program's sponsored in part by the Seafarers International Union and the Maritime Trades, both of Washington, D.C. We appreciate their support. Joining me today by phone, we've got Ron Baker, organizer extraordinaire for the Baker Union, the BCTGM. And Ron, is it true that you had to change your name when you joined the union?
Well, that's the rumor, but there's really no truth to it.
I didn't believe those guys from the steel workers when they told me that. Now I'm teasing you, Ron. And Ron, you know, I got to tell you, you got to have a sense of humor when you're organizing. That's for
you
sure.
You do. But, you absolutely do. Yes.
So You know, I know that you, as a lead organizer, had to pitch this idea about going from college campus to college campus and talking to students, i.e. the people who probably eat more Oreos per capita than anybody else in the world. But, I mean, when you pitch this to your boss, this is a new and different way of doing it. I mean, in the old days, you'd put a couple people in front of a grocery store with flyers and say, you know, please don't buy the Mexican Oreos. Please buy the American made.
Mm-hmm.
How did your boss take that paradigm shift? And what did you say to him to convince him that this is probably a good idea?
Well, I mean, our international president, who I work for directly, is very strategically minded and is not locked into any previous ways that things are being done. There's new day, new ways, et cetera. So, I mean, basically, the approach was this. Here we got a population of people that are probably the heaviest consumers, but quite frankly, they're not naive to the financial realities of the country. One, what it costs to go to college and how long you pay after you're out.
Right.
Two, a job that you might be training for that might not be there at the end of the day. They've all had friends, neighbors, or whatever. So the dynamics of the student, even though they've yet to delve in probably into the heavy duty financials of responsibility in society, still understand that when they invest in their education, or if they invest in wherever it might be, that there's got to be some way for them to pay it back, to return something to society, et cetera. I'm telling you, That interest caught on immediately with the leadership of our union. We found out firsthand when we went to the first meetings. You know, I asked the question, how many people here have family members, friends, or relatives who have been impacted negatively and lost their job due to outsourcing to another country? And I'm telling you, 60% of the kids in that room raised their hand. Many of them.
Wow.
Many of them had college interrupted as a result of that stuff, and we're starting over again. Many of them were unsure whether they were going to be able to attend, and many of them were unsure whether next year was a possibility for them. So you want to talk about an activist, energized group of people that understand this economic dilemma better than probably most people? That's the student body.
You know, I got to tell you, you know, just that thought process there, and I know you've got a lot of young people on your organizing teams, but just that thought process there, that paradigm shift is really important. Now, and here's what I was trying to get to before, because Dan, you've spent the last 8-10 months out there working with your crews, meeting people, young people, college students, talking to them. Not only about this issue, but organizing, about what unions are really about, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, just the last couple of weeks, collectively here in the United States, young people, old people, Democrats, Republicans, independents, labor, not yet, but soon to be labor, we all got together and said to Congress, specifically the Senate, you know what? The Affordable Care Act is not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, and we fully stipulate to that. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We want that a whole heck of a lot better or more than what you're trying to offer us. And people picked up the phones and they called. Are we starting to see, starting at a much younger age and more people involved across the whole spectrum, people getting involved and being advocates for what they believe are important things for their community?
Absolutely, they are, and I will tell you. I'll give you one of the reasons why. I mean, it's been coming for a while, but let's just start back with the recent election. Okay, people are more committed, more inclined to take action whenever they see that politics is being used as a divider on issues that impact both Republicans and Democrats. For instance, you use the Affordable Care Act. there's Republicans, Democrats, Independents, or whatever that are whose life is better due to ACA. Yes, it's got its problems. There's no doubt about it. But the political parties, and especially the Republicans in Congress, wanted them to choose party over mom and dad in a nursing home, over their sons and daughters that are ill, over their economic future and financial security into the future. Choose party over that and everything will be okay. And I'll tell you what, people are not buying it. They're saying this is about right. what's good for us. It's not about what's good for the hierarchy of any particular party in this country.
You know, I got to tell you, Ron, and you're probably in the same boat that I am. I've been looking at what's been going on recently, and I've been seeing more and more people get activated. And I got to tell you, you know, these kinds of things, not only is it making our lives easier as organizers, but in addition to that, I mean, it's almost like the light bulb went on. People got it, and they know that, hey, you know what? I want to be part of the union. I want to be part of the I want to be part of the group of people that are helping my community. I want to be part of improving our lot in life, not at the expense of somebody else.
Unless American citizens, regardless of party, take control of what's best for them and their family, then they will be subjected to the partisan politics that is around us everywhere, and nothing will get done for anyone. That's exactly where people are today.
Yeah. Ron, I got to tell you, man, you know, we've been delighted to do whatever we could do to help you guys and get you on the program as often as you and your folks had the opportunity to come on. But you, despite the naysayers out there, you took a group of people, you got out there, you educated the public on the issue, and you moved the needle. I mean, it's right there in black and white.
Well, I appreciate that. People across this country and across the globe have, you know, we're going to go out and tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
The more this company tells lies about us and about the labor movement, the more we're going to tell the truth about them. So that's been our motto. That's what we're going to do. And we got more to go, but we're not going to give up until this is successful, because there's too much at stake, not only for people here, but people all across the country.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I just want to reiterate one thing, and I've kind of said it a couple of times. You're not saying that the folks down in Mexico are bad and they shouldn't be making Oreos and all that kind of stuff. But
absolutely not.
There's a market there. There's a market in South America. There's, you know, in Central America. Let them supply that.
Well, that's right. And the other thing is, too, the unfairness of this whole business model is the fact not only people getting dislocated here in this country, but you have to also consider that the people in Mexico are making, at last report, around $1 an hour.
$1 an hour. Man.
And, you know, so you figure 330 people work at a factory. Their cost of labor for an hour is $330. You can't hardly wrap your head around that.
No. I mean, no. Absolutely not. And in addition to that, I mean, you know, years ago when I used to work for the Immigration Service, they had those posters talking about the Pakistani kid that was making the soccer ball that our kids were playing with here.
Yes, yes.
Do we really want our kids playing with a soccer ball that's made by other kids? No. Do we really want to eat cookies that are made by people, and they're perfectly great people and fine people, but
yep.
cookies that are made by somebody who's getting paid $1 an hour? Do we want to support
yep.
that profit margin? No.
No, because I'll tell you, if this economy and these corporations have it their way, in short order, Charles, people in this country will be making soccer balls for $1 an hour.
Yeah, I know. Ron, we got to get going, brother. You've got a website. What is it?
Website is fightforamericanjobs.org. That's fightforamericanjobs.org. And thank you so much for everything you guys have done.
Absolutely. And very quickly, Ron, how do we tell the difference between American-made and Mexican-made Oreos?
Check the label. Flip it over right under the ingredients.
There you go, brother. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, see you later, man. Bye.
Thank you. It was Ron Baker of the BCTGM talking about American-made cookies. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.